Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Good morning, mentors. And I'm going to be focusing a little bit on that this morning, but also hopefully challenging all of you in the word and in a simple word, I believe. I'm still and always blown away by the power of the mom. Seriously, like my parents are still to this day some of the most influential people in my life. Time and time again, God has used my mom to shape me into the man that I am today. And it's so awesome that in this season of my life that I get to, at least in some capacity, serve alongside of my mom and get to do some events with her. And even just like this morning, you know, Pastor asked if I would pray over these incredible ladies as they start this new ministry. And I'm like, you know what would be better than that? If my mom prayed over them, because she's, you know, she's the lady in charge, the first lady of the Assemblies of God in Wyoming. So I'm just so appreciative of you, Mom, but also just for what moms do every day in their families and in their circles of influence. My mom has inspired me in lots of ways, and I'm inspired by her desire for knowledge and education, whether that's learning how to lead a meeting online. My mom is a go-to meeting wizard. If you have any questions about how to run a go-to meeting, she knows all about that. And she is incredibly resilient in life. I've seen her overcome illness. I've seen her learn about the spiritual and physical likeness between God and light. And as an artist, it's something that still to this day I think about. But I remember she went through this phase, and it was like everything to her was like related to like God and light and how they were paired and all of this stuff. And it just really ignited in me a passion to learn about those things as well. I've seen her take new classes as an adult. She's taught me that it's never too late to start a new hobby. It's never too late to learn something new. Or just walking in a new season of influence like she's doing now. She's always had such a vitality to really live her life, and she has comforted me in some of my darkest times, reassured me that everything is going to be okay, and like just as we've gotten to do in the last couple of years, we've gotten to explore several different cities, whether it's Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. This last fall, we got to hang out in Seattle for several days. We both have a passion to explore. So I appreciate that about you, Mom. And then also in the audience today is my grandmother. And there are so many things that I've learned from Granny as well. She's Granny to me. You can't call her that, but I can. Just seeing her walk in faithfulness, time and time again, seeing her support my grandfather in the many years of ministry that they shared together, faithfulness in serving her family, unwavering in her convictions. We have kind of a family joke sometimes that the only movies that my grandma will watch are rated G, and as funny as that might be, and you know, we laugh about that. Her strong convictions in life and guarding her heart and guarding her mind and what she lets into her has always been a little bit of a moral compass for me as well. And I think of that high standard of convictions that is not just personal, but it's affected our entire family. And then her generosity as well. So many times in time, in finances, in prayer, she has just poured herself out. And so, one, I wanted to have the opportunity to honor, you know, my motherly influences. But I don't say it just to dote on them, and of course, I hope that they feel honored. But I'm thinking about all these different characteristics that mothers have and the opportunity that they have to influence. And that is such a huge word when I think about parents, but especially mothers, the influence that they have. Whether you're a spiritual mother or a literal mother, you often have a thankless job. And I want to encourage all of you as an audience today. I know that Mother's Day can be hard for some people, and I understand that. I really do. But I want to encourage you today to make today not about you and not about just what you might feel about Mother's Day, but take it as an opportunity to celebrate those godly influences that you have. So I encourage you to go the extra mile today to make those ladies feel honored and loved. So if you're with us for the first time today, or maybe it's the first time in a long time, maybe you're a Christian already, or perhaps you're at the beginning of a faith journey, and you're just curious about what this whole church thing is about, you picked a great day to be here because, yes, the sermon is for our moms and to honor them and challenge them, but it also is going to be kind of like a Christianity 101 kind of a day. When I was thinking about mothers and the role that they play in our lives, as well as the opportunity I had to speak on this day, and when I try to put words together to encourage those that want to be moms, challenge those that are already mothering families, comfort those that might have a difficult time on Mother's Day, as well as teach something that would be relevant to all of the people in this room, and the many categories and kind of stages of faith walks, it's a tough thing to try and think about. Okay, well, you know, this is going to make sense for the moms, and you know, this is good for everybody else, and I don't want everybody else to like tune out, you know, just because they're maybe not a mom or whatever, you know. So I'm going to try and do all of this, and what I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me back towards again was just this idea of simple Christianity. It brings me full circle to the idea of being the best version of yourself that you can be. And whether that means being the best dad that you can be. Last weekend we had our men's retreat, and that was Pastor Brian, his big thing was just being the best dad and father that you can be. Or whether it's a mom, or whether you're trying to be the best leader, or follower, or worker, or artist, or athlete, or in my case, bachelor extraordinaire. It always comes back to becoming more like Jesus. To growing to be like him, just as a plant grows to maturity, we have committed to growing into spiritual maturity too, and that's what today is all about. So whatever you are doing, seeking, trying to be, desiring to grow in, or trying to get through, it all comes back to this same thing, learning to be more like Jesus. So this sermon is titled, as you can see, Blessed. I came across a podcast a few weeks ago by the legendary Dr. George Wood. He is the general superintendent for all of the Assemblies of God, and he's a Vanguard alumni, so I love that man. Got to interact with him actually a little bit on campus when I was going to school there, and just so much respect for him. And he was on this podcast. It was actually his son's podcast, and so his son was interviewing him and asking him about a particularly difficult season that he had gone through in life. And he talks about how through that difficult season, the thing that the Lord was trying to kind of drill into him was the concept, and I believe that it's a concept just as much as it is a passage of the Bible, the concept of the Beatitudes. So I wanted to share with you today some of that inspiration. So would you turn with me in your Bibles, or it'll be up on the screen as well, to Matthew 5. We're going to be talking about the Beatitudes this morning. Matthew 5, 1 through 10. It says, "Now when he saw the crowds," that's Jesus, "he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. Father God, I pray that as we go into this morning and we take apart this passage, this famous address that you have. God, I pray that we would all be thinking for ourselves, what part are you speaking to me today? What do you want to say to each one of us? God, I pray that you would make it practical. God, I pray that you would make it exciting, because it is a joy and an excitement to serve you. I just pray that you would be with us this morning. We love you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. So this is really, really important. We are at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. So in the chapters before, we see Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. And of course, the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. And God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And so it's after that, he draws into the wilderness. He does his thing there. That's a whole nother thing. That's one of my favorite passages as well. But I'm going to talk about this beginning of his ministry today. And it's really important because it's the first thing that Jesus says after 30 years. Okay, so we don't know a lot about the middle years of Jesus' life, but we do know that when he began his public ministry, it was intentional and it was dynamic. As you can probably imagine, with it being 30 years in the making, that there was particular significance in these words. And I love this passage, like I said earlier, because it essentially condenses the many choices that we have to make as Christians into a few really simple statements. So today, as we look deeper into becoming more like Jesus, we're going to pull apart each of these statements and then make some practical steps to apply them in our lives. So I want you to look at each of these concepts as both an opportunity to challenge yourself, but also as a place where God wants to reward us with blessing. It's challenge and reward. This is about blessing. At each of the beginning of this, he said, "Blessed is this person." There's spiritual blessing, the person that's going through this, that's dealing with this, that's having to go through this section of life. And I thought to myself, what better way to make some visual connections with these points than to talk about 8 different flowers, one for each of these Beatitudes. Speaking of stories that involve myself and my mom, I have absolutely no skill when it comes to growing plants. I mean, I have a few air plants in my apartment that I somehow managed to die. I mean, literally, or managed to kill. You have one responsibility with an air plant. That is to soak it in water for 10 minutes once a week, and then you just set it out to dry. That's it. Like, I can't even keep those alive. I do not, by any stretch of the imagination, have anything close to resembling a green thumb. Last summer, my parents were away on a trip, and my mom asked if I could come over to water their plants while she was away. I was specifically instructed to water the outdoor plants every day and to water the indoor plants once. Well, what I heard was, water the plants every day. Got it. Good, mom. Got it. I'll water the plants every day. Got it. So I go over there every day and get the outside plants, of course, and then proceed to drown my mother's prized violet plant every single day with way more water than it can handle. To this day, that plant is still not the same. Technically alive, but definitely not the same. So as I go through these 8 different Beatitudes, I want to just encourage you to be asking God, where is your finger today? Of these 8 different things, I don't believe that God wants to overwhelm you this morning and be like, okay, man, I got to get good at that. I got to go through that season. I got to do this. I got to get better at that. And there's 8 different things, and it's going to overwhelm you. I don't want that at all. I really believe that God is going to point out maybe 1 or 2 of these different Beatitudes, and he's going to go, yes, that's one thing that you really excel in, because half of today, and I'm going to end today with talking about celebrating what God has done in our lives. So that's where I've produced growth in your life. But here's another one of these Beatitudes that I'm leading you into a season of growth in. So I want you to look for those. So let's get going. Blessed, blessed, depending on how you verse it. In the Greek, it means properly when God extends his benefits and his advantages to those he loves, to his people, when he extends those benefits and advantages. It describes a believer in enviable or fortunate position from receiving God's provisions and his favor, which literally means to extend, make long and large his grace. Man, we could just like close in prayer right now. I mean, that'd be like so good. When you think about this idea of blessing, is God's extended grace towards you. And it means a lot of different things. This is a very multifaceted word. Then if we talk about how the Old Testament and those same references, those work into things as well, you know, it really does mean provision and favor and even physical blessings, so financial or health or those things. But I want you to think of it on a grander spectrum this morning of God's grace extended to you, his provision in your life, and that can look like a lot of different things. There's a result, though, of each of these points, and that is provision and joy, and God's fortunate outpouring on our lives. So the first, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first blessing I'm going to mention today is the blessing of needing help. This first beatitude mentions being poor in spirit, which doesn't really mean to be physically poor. If you look at what that word and that phrase really, really means, it mentions a poverty of spirit, something that could never be relieved by our own trying. And a lot of people, when they look at this verse, they can understand that it might not necessarily mean physical poverty, but then it turns into, blessed are the depressed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's not really what it means. It means that all of us are in the state of being poor in spirit, in that we're desolate on our own. A poverty of spirit means that we have something that could never be relieved on our own trying. It is the realization that we in ourselves will never be enough. As Dr. Wood says, the Christian life begins when we say, Lord, I cannot buy salvation, forgiveness, or eternal life, and I am totally dependent on God for what I cannot give myself. So when we look at this from a new angle, it makes sense that it's at the beginning of this list of different beatitudes, because he's saying, at the very beginning, all of us, in our human selves, in our human nature, we're fallen and we're in need. We need help. So the first flower today is the sunflower. Hoping that these don't fall over. We're going to choose a taller one. Sunflowers follow the sun. If you didn't know, most people, it's pretty common knowledge, but sunflowers can change directions based on where the sun is at in the sky. And they do that because, on a factual basis, sunflowers need a lot of sunlight. They don't do it just because they're drawn to the warmth of it. They actually need that light to survive, and so they follow the sun as it goes around. This idea of needing help, being desperate for the Lord, it is the beginning mark of what it means to be Christian. I cannot do this alone, and I need help. It's also the starting line for spiritual, emotional, personal, mental, and relational health. I need help. It's where it begins. And it's interesting, too, because when we see Jesus and the way that he lived, it's an example that is obviously first coming from a need for God. He communicated with the Lord. But Jesus also demonstrated that he had a need for others, too. After all, it was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane who asked his friends, hey, I can't bear this weight on my own. Please pray with me. I can't do this alone. Do this with me. Pray with me. So it is a spiritual blessing to need him because it puts us in a position of desperation for the Lord. It is the beginning and the start of this entire process. So the first one, needing help, the blessing of needing help. The second blessing, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The second blessing is the beatitude of sensitivity. For this one, I have the rose. You have to be really careful with roses, because if they aren't trimmed, you can prick yourself on the thorns, which cause obvious pain. Just like you have to be careful in handling roses, Jesus calls us to be sensitive to others' needs and to be aware of our own as well. To not be afraid to show emotion, but to empathize, to laugh, to cry, both for ourselves and for others. One of the key aspects of Jesus' life that I love is his empathy and compassion with others. When Jesus wept in John 11:35, and it wasn't until just a few years ago that I even made this connection, he was weeping over a friend of his. He had a heart that was emotionally in a healthy and vulnerable place that not only opened himself up to others, but also responded to others with sensitivity. And Jesus never became desensitized to people's needs, nor did he become callous to those that rejected him. In this verse, Jesus blesses those who do the same. Blessed are those who mourn, who feel things, who go through things, for they will be comforted. May we always be soft-hearted, where we can both be comforted and in turn comfort others. It's a strange thought, isn't it, to think of it as a blessing. Blessed are those that mourn, that go through difficult times. Blessed are those that feel human pain, that go through difficulty, that experience loss. But it's a blessing because A, it helps us to love others going through the same. And B, because God promises his comfort through it. How many of us in this room have a story of a time that we went through something really difficult? And yes, it was so hard. But coming out of that, we experience a new depth in our relationship with the Lord, a responsiveness to his comfort, a responsiveness and experience of his love, and then an empathy for others that are going through the same. So it's a blessing. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. 3, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, the blessing of gentle strength. The verse here says, blessed are the meek. So oftentimes people think of someone who is meek as someone who is quiet, maybe someone that can't stand up for themselves, someone that always plays second fiddle. But the reality of this word means something so different. The word meek means a centered or balanced person, an individual under restraint or control, a man or woman of gentleness. The word meek in Greek literature was used to talk about a wild horse that had been broken. The horse was still wild. It still had that power, but its energies had been channeled into something different. Jesus wants us to have that balance, gentleness, discipline. And that's what a big aspect of this verse comes down to. Balance, strength, and love working together simultaneously. Authority and servanthood. So for this blessing, I picked the tulip. Because of its balance. Tulips have symmetrical petals, if you didn't know. They have an even number of them, and so it's very pleasing to look at bloom. But in addition to it, tulips have a really strong stem. So it has that balance. And it's a juxtaposition in appearance because it's both stiff and strong, but also beautiful. And in specific, I felt like this was an interesting fact. I did a lot of research because, like I said, I don't know anything about flowers. But a purple tulip actually stands for royalty as well. And I just thought about how we've been thinking and praying so much and learning as a church about identity, how when we understand who we are, that we're royalty, that it changes how we act. And we're able to act out that meekness, act out that balance. All right, let's keep moving. Just a few more. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And this is the blessing of learning. So for this, I have the Fuji Mum. In ancient Chinese culture, the Fuji Mum stood for truth because of its color. And I think it's so interesting when we're talking about hungering and thirsting after righteousness that it really comes back to this idea of just wanting and desiring truth in our lives. Some of the best people and greatest leaders that I know are the ones that never stop learning. The verse here says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We have never arrived, and we've never learned all that we need to about God, his character, or how to apply anything that we read or hear about. We need to remain in a state of humility where we're seeking after God, choosing to live righteousness out in our lives and desiring to become more like him. But the great thing about this verse is that there is a really obvious cause and effect here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. When we look at our biblical examples of different kind of patriarchs of the faith, matriarchs of the faith, when they ask for something, there's several biblical references, so I'm hoping that you guys will track with me here. So anybody want to take a shot at? It's something in the Bible that several people asked for and God gave really willingly, just right on the spot. What was that? Anyone? Wisdom. Danae, yeah, got your girl. Wisdom, it's a blessing to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. 7, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. This is the blessing of compassion. Basically, this verse means blessed are the people who care for others. Blessed are those who die to themselves. Mercy in this verse has much to do with being willing to go out of your way for people who are different than you. Not being quick to judge, marginalize, criticize, or wall off, but instead choosing, like we see in the story of the Good Samaritan, to take care of others, to go the extra mile for them, to recognize their needs. By the way, I feel like this story, the Good Samaritan, is a really important story for modern day culture, American church culture. Because if you didn't know, the Jewish man and the Samaritan man had religious differences. They came from cultures that were more or less opposing. We need to be committed to taking care of those, even those people that we disagree with. Would you be willing to serve someone that you hated, someone that you disagreed with their moral choices? That's essentially what we see in this passage, in this story. A man who had compassion on someone who was at the total opposite spectrum of beliefs, took him in, didn't just do the bare minimum, but he went above and beyond to make sure that this man was taken care of. Jesus invites us into relationship with him where we die to self and develop this kind of compassion. So for this blessing, I picked the snapdragon, which is kind of an interesting choice. But here's what's interesting about the snapdragon is that some kinds of snapdragon are actually perennial and they come back season after season. But if you don't take the time to prune away all that's dead at the end of the season, it will in turn die. It's a form of selflessness. The snapdragon literally in some capacity has to die to itself in order to be reborn again. I just think that's such a telling thing of what Jesus asks of us, to die daily to ourselves, to be others-minded, to be looking for opportunities to show compassion and care for others. So this was the blessing of compassion. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And that's the trade-off. When we do that, when we give mercy, when we take care of other people, when we go the extra mile for them, Jesus promises us that you, in turn, will be taken care of. All right, we're almost done. Buckle in. I knew that this was going to be a lot to get through, but I promise you I could not pick just a few of the Beatitudes. That would be weird. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is the blessing of clear conscience. And I picked daisies for this one. This is an awesome daisy. Got all these flowers from Keefe's, shameless plug. Daisies stand for purity and innocence. Now, I understand that this is a red daisy. It's kind of unlike. It's really unique. But the flower, you know, flowers have, like, meaning, and they have a lot of depth into what they stand for. But daisies mean that, purity and innocence. This principle boils down to two things: being a Christian who is committed to confession and repentance. It would be so great if we didn't have to ever wrestle with sin again or making a mistake again in our life, but the reality is that we're humans, and we need to be in a constant state of confessing what we shouldn't have done, or perhaps not doing something that we should have done. But I love this verse because the spiritual principle of confession isn't meant to make us feel like dirt, to feel bad, to keep us down in the dump, say, oh, you're human, you're terrible, you're always going to be that way. But it brings us into regular, ongoing relationship with the Lord, regular, ongoing restoration with the Lord. Confession brings us to a place of being pure in heart and pure in mind, which ultimately means that I will experience and see God. What's not to love about that? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Next, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. This is the blessing of friendship. So for this one, we have the common carnation. How many of you came to church today thinking that you were probably going to get a carnation? Of course, one person. He's not even mom, so. Carnations are given in a lot of different situations. They're given for graduations, they're given for birthdays, they're commonly given for Mother's Day, they're given for condolences, and actually all different kinds of carnations and the colors that they have mean different things as well. But they're given for many different reasons to celebrate different things. This seventh beatitude gives blessing to peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus wanted us to realize that part of our calling as Christians is to make peace with God and others. We need to be committed to helping others do this as well. There's a really strong result from this. And I love this again. Like, these are powerful verses. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons and daughters of God. When we choose to serve others, bring peace to situations, having the attitude of friendship, especially to those who are different than ourselves, in the hopes of helping them to experience God's salvation and peace, we become more like Jesus. After all, Jesus was called the friend of sinners in Matthew 11:10. And lastly, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is the blessing of difficulty. I have a stock flower for this. Did you know that stock flowers are actually a part of the mustard family? Which reminds me, of course, of faith. If anyone has faith even the size of a mustard seed. But even more than that, stock flowers grow despite harsh conditions. The sources I found online said that they're both able to grow in particularly hot climates, but they're also resistant to frost. They're able to thrive even despite difficult circumstances. The last of these eight Beatitudes is one of the hardest ones to get the hang of. And I think there was intention again. I promise you, Jesus, he did not speak half-heartedly. There was intention and even the order that he places these out there. He began with saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that need Jesus, which really is all of us. And then he builds on it. And they almost get like harder and harder. Blessed are those who serve others, who have compassion. Blessed are those who are peacemakers in difficult situations. And it builds up to this idea of blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we combine the seven concepts beforehand, it produces maturity in our relationship with God. And guess what? Not everybody loves that in our world. There are going to be people who disagree with you. There are going to be trials. There are going to be times of persecution in our lives. And I'm not just talking about the whole idea of religious freedom and that kind of thing. That could be part of it in the future in America, and even is in some instances. But I'm just talking about everyday people that you might interact with. One thing that you can always count on, something I learned from my mom, is that where light is, again, it's scripture too, there cannot be darkness. So if you've gone through this process, you're committing these seven Beatitudes before here to heart, and we're growing in them, it produces light. And the thing about when you are producing light in your life, it shines on people's darkness, whether they like it or not. Some people are going to respond awesome to that, and some people aren't going to like it. There are going to be those trials. But rejoice. Choose to rejoice. Choose to respond instead of react. It's a leadership principle in here, response versus reaction. In a chemical reaction, you pour two chemicals together and they explode or melt or freeze or whatever. It just happens. It's a reaction. But when a response happens, it means that something is going to happen. You're going to pour two things into a situation, and I'm going to choose what my response is going to be. Choose to respond. Choose to respond with joy. The awesome thing is that when we've spent time and effort on the first seven of these Beatitudes, the eighth comes a whole lot easier. We learn to choose life and joy, even in the midst of difficulty. So you have the choice to see the big picture, that suffering is never the end, that we know who wins in the end. So what's the point? Why share these eight different principles today? I'm convinced that it's because Jesus is more concerned about what's inside than out. And all of these, you can look back, they're internal things. God wants you to be fully his on the inside. And when we do that, our actions, the eighth, response, responding to difficulty, responding to people who disagree with you, that's an outward thing that happens at the end, but it's because of the inward work that happens on the inside that we're able to do that. And I love these because they're real life. We all go through times where we need help, where we need to be strong or sensitive or learn to encourage others. We're all going to go through difficulties, but the point is to realize that in those times, we always have that choice how to respond. But here in this passage, we find a clear description of what it means to be like Jesus. And it's a description of what it means to be like Jesus despite difficulties, trials, excuses even. So I believe that God has brought us together today to reflect on two things. The real question, just as Carl Lentz, he's the pastor of Hillsong NYC, he says this in some kind of a way at the end of every sermon he has. What does this look like come Monday morning? How does God want you to grow in maybe one of these areas? How would God want to affirm your growth in one of these areas as well? How does God want you to recognize and celebrate growth? So inside of your bulletins, there was a little card. And if I could get the ushers just on standby, there should be a stack, Henry, in that silver thing right there. So if you didn't get one, we can pass those out. But I'm going to pray in just a minute, and then we're going to take just a few minutes before the rest of this day happens to reflect and worship. And I want you to take a moment to think about this and then write down an answer. Then we're going to end by celebrating the growth that God has produced in us, as well as the opportunity to grow, knowing that it produces blessing in our lives. So that little piece of paper has just two questions. Basically, on one side, it says, what am I celebrating today? Looking back on the last year, What has God produced in me that I'm going to celebrate and recognize his hand in? And then on the other side is, which one of these beatitudes do I need to grow in? Which one of these do I feel like God is putting his thumb on today and saying, we need to do a little work here. We need to put a little intentionality in growing in this area. And if you need to look, again, there in the sermon inserts, it has all of those different beatitudes for you. But like I said, we're going to take just a minute to think about that, to respond. And I would encourage you. I know sometimes it's like you get a piece of paper and you don't really do anything with it. Like, I'm honest. I've been that way lots of times. But I encourage you to write it down. Because when we put it in writing, it's there's something that happens that's a little bit deeper and more permanent than just having the thought. So I encourage you to write down those two things. And then as you're led, you can join us in worship. And we're almost done. So I encourage you, just take a few minutes to reflect and write. And then we're going to celebrate by worshiping.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.